Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, we're starting to see some cooler mornings. We've seen some really terrific weather. And we're going to be talking about what could be our historical first freeze here coming up shortly. But before we talk about maybe the cooler weather and the things we need to be doing now that the weather's cooling down, let's remind people one more time about the Sun Country Landscape Conference that's coming up in November.
Yes, it's definitely a 3-day event, all geared for different clientele that we have. So if you're in the maintenance community, if you have landscapers that are out on your HOAs, maintenance crews, we're going to have a Spanish language program for tree care workers on Thursday, November the 19th. The following day is going to be our professional day. So that's geared to landscape designers, architects, planners, engineers, folks that need to know a little bit more about the actual specifics on plants and sustainability of large open areas. That's going to be on Friday. And then if you're a homeowner and want to kind of, you know, learn about more about sustainability, but in your own backyard, you want to catch our Saturday program, which is on the 21st of November, for a half-day workshop. Keep in mind that our registration does bump up after November the 6th, so please visit our website. There's links all over to each three of those programs that we just talked about, so you can make sure you register for the right one. And we're always here to answer any questions and give you more information on what we're going to cover on that 3-day program.
And we have information on the conference here at the radio station if you'd like to call us, or you can also find all the information, including those links and all the details, at the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. So we encourage people to take part of that, especially the homeowners session, because that's a pretty reasonable fee. You register before November 6th, and it's only $15, and it's a nice morning course that I think people would be really educated.
Yeah. And our theme this year is One Canopy, One Community, learning together, growing together. So we're really all of this in it together, but it takes a different prongs of us to be all on the same page so that we can move this area, El Paso, forward.
Yeah, and it's being presented by the West Texas Urban Forestry Council, and, you know, their main goal is just to get you to plant more trees. And hopefully that's what people have on the mind right about now. The weather's cooler. This is the perfect time to be planting trees. And one thing that we need to keep thinking about is, we mentioned here at the top of the show that our historical first freeze date is coming up really shortly. What date is that?
Right. So we're looking at November 15th, based on 100 plus years of climate data. That's when we're going to hit our first killing freeze. And there's a lot of things that we need to do before then. I mean, we're pretty much like 3 weeks out from today. You know, we're going to see the slight continuing decline of nighttime temperatures and not so hot day temperatures as well. So we really want to make sure that we do our transition now and timely, because even though we can grow a lot of things throughout the winter, and I'm speaking about, you know, annuals and vegetables, we want to make sure that they get established before the very cold temperatures and these killing freezes kick in.
And the nice thing about, I don't know if I'm going to say the nice thing about our freezes, but, you know, our ground does not tend to freeze. Our climate is such where when it gets cold, it doesn't stay cold as long to where your ground is going to freeze, and it really is going to cause major damage to plants. I guess whatever damage may occur when a freeze does happen is mostly above the ground, no?
Right, exactly. So that's really, we're looking at our air temperature and not so much our soil temperature, and because we have a lot of that soil temperature still well above the freezing mark, we don't have to worry about our ground freezing, but it's to protect whatever's on top of the soil level and prevent that from getting kind of damaged.
And the nice thing also, again, I use the word nice thing, is that when we do get a freeze, is that luckily we're situated here where we are on the planet. It's nice that when we do get those cold temperatures in the morning, the sun is usually going to warm things up really nicely in the afternoon. So the hours that we stay below freezing, with the rare exception, is not going to last very long.
Right, exactly. We still have a lot of, you know, direct solar radiation every morning. We have a lot of, you know, nice clear mornings as well. And as we get closer into the season, we'll talk a lot about more about plant protection and how to protect those plants from being frost damaged, because sometimes we can do an adverse effect because we have such bright and sunny days. Even though the temperatures may be cold, we don't want to essentially, you know, bake our plants by covering them too much, especially during the daytime temperatures as well. But as it's getting cooler, it's also time for these other trees and shrubs to start shutting down. And the colder it gets, the more dormant they become. They're not going to actively grow grow, which means it's the perfect time to start transplanting and moving your plants, buying a tree or putting in some shrubs. Definitely do not let this November 15th date deter you. It's a better time. So go out there, take a look. I know I've seen a lot of plants, especially the Texas sage, have really started to bounce back. Mm-hmm. You know, they refer to that as the barometer plant. So the barometric pressure starts changing and you start seeing those blooms on those plants come up. So it's really a great time to, you know, go out there and support your local nurseries and get some nice shrubs that are appropriate for our area.
So are these recent rains that we've seen here in the region, I can imagine that can only be beneficial for helping these plants sort of make it through what might be a cold winter coming up ahead.
Yeah, you see all the forecasts that the National Weather Service puts out, and they're kind of predicting that we're going to have a much wetter winter time. So yeah, it does definitely help. Any moisture that we can get into our soil is a great thing. I also understand that you all had some weather earlier this week.
Yeah, you weren't in town.
Yeah, I wasn't in town, but believe me, I heard all about it. As a result, I had my plants in my yard. I haven't really gotten a chance to be able to go out there and start transitioning my summer vegetable garden into my winter vegetable garden. And as a result, you know, the hailstorms, it just tore up my eggplants. I mean, I had shredded leaves all over the place. It was tough, but you know what?
It was at the end of the season, right?
It's a kick. It's a reminder to say, you know what? Got to take those plants out now and start getting into your fall vegetable garden, because it's just a, you know, matter of time.
And so when we're thinking about the fall vegetable garden, what are we thinking about? Maybe getting our seeds ready to sow?
Yeah, definitely. Well, the great thing about fall vegetable gardening is that you can do a combination of seeds and transplants. So, of course, some plants do better as transplants. Other ones, you can certainly get those directly into the ground. What you're seeing out in garden centers right now are a lot of cole crops. So your broccoli, your cauliflower, even Brussels sprouts are sold as transplants. Make sure that when you're choosing your fall vegetables, don't grow it just because you want to. Make sure you're going to grow it because you like it. So, so it's broccoli is your thing, then go for it. I'm not a big fan of cauliflower, but, you know, so I'll add extra broccoli on that. So, because it's going to take some time to be able to be out there and maintain it. It's just because it's a cooler season doesn't mean that it's going to be less work. Mm-hmm. But the really great thing also about fall vegetable gardening is that you can do a lot of things by seed. So now's a great time to put in some carrots, you know, radishes, turnips, beets, and even some other greens like spinach does really well by directly seeding some seeds in there. Swiss chard is also another great vegetable to include in your garden. So, you know, you have a nice little assortment. We also can't forget probably one of the most popular herbs around here is cilantro, coriander, and get your coriander seeds and plant them in the ground because they're definitely ready for fall. So you can have a nice little assortment out in your garden and be able to get them established so that they're going to start slowing down the cooler it gets, but it doesn't mean that they're going to stop growing. They're just going to be a little slower.
Are we going to need to do any sort of preparatory adjustments to our soil, put some compost in there?
Yeah, you know what? And we really recommend that everyone amend their beds with compost at the changing of every season. So if you just do a summer crop, you know, just do it once before you plant. If you're going to have your garden in production, I mean, those plants are using a lot of the soil nutrients as well. So they'll benefit from compost and, you know, a few bags depth for about 2 inches deep, and then mix that in. And then that it's also going to loosen up that nice soil so that your transplants or your seeds can have a nice little home as they get transplanted into the beds. And they'll really take off and need that extra boost of vitamins.
And also, now that we're sort of getting into the cooler season, you know, we think of the fall vegetables as being, you know, the root vegetables or the leafy greens like spinach, right, and cabbage, et cetera. And I think also a lot of people might have pumpkins on the brain.
Yeah.
And so if you are growing pumpkins from scratch, I guess you could say, is this the time to be doing them? Because, I mean, we're seeing pumpkins everywhere in the grocery stores right now. What happens if you're trying to grow it on your own? Is this like the prime ripening season, or how does
that
work?
Well, actually, I got to think about planting pumpkins at the 4th of July. because pumpkins, for the most part, are going to take 90 to 120 days to mature. So you really have to be, gardeners are always like a couple of seasons ahead of everybody. So if you did not think about planting pumpkins in July, you're too late. So at this point, you just have to really enjoy what's in the market right now. And there's a lot of assortment. I've seen a lot of a selection of different pumpkins out in the grocery stores and in the different centers. So there's a big difference. So the really big jack-o'-lantern pumpkins are not the ones you want to bake with. The big jack-o'-lantern ones are not bred for that. They're bred for size and the thickness of their skin. And those are going to make the great decorations and the jack-o'-lanterns as well. And the smaller ones are called the baking pumpkins. Those are going to have a higher sugar content, and those are the ones that you want to use for your pies and for your fall desserts. There's also a lot of different assortments of mini pumpkins that you can buy, like a little mesh bag, mm-hmm. Or a lot of different gourds that have like a lot of interesting textures and colors. And some of my favorite ones are also what they consider the Cinderella pumpkins. It kind of looks like the same shape as a mini pumpkin, but much bigger in size. So it's kind of flat. It's not a round. It's kind of a flat.
Like Cinderella's carriage.
Like Cinderella carriage, exactly. And they're usually white in color.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a really nice contrast as well for that. And there's also some other bluish green pumpkins as well in that same Cinderella flat shape on there. So they can be used for a lot of different decorations, whether it's outdoor or in your tablescape as well. But really, prolong that and extend that season for as long as you can. So don't put them in a sunny porch. Give them some protection. Shade is good. It won't kind of heat up the sides of the pumpkin very much. So keep them protected. Keep them dry. You don't want any kind of rotting on the outside going on. You might want to consider to also that kind of disinfect the inside of the pumpkin itself, like a real mild solution of maybe some bleach and some water out there. And that's going to really reduce the amount of spores that are going to start growing on the inside of the pumpkin.
Yeah, because I can imagine that can be pretty gross.
Yeah, it can. You start seeing all the blue mold. You start seeing all this mold coming on, and it becomes a science project.
Yeah.
Nobody really wants that as well. You decide that those jack-o'-lantern-sized pumpkins are not going to be for consumption. So you can do some other techniques just to extend their shelf life, because you can certainly carry those all the way into Thanksgiving. You can also carve a big hole inside your pumpkin and put a pot of mums directly from the garden center.
Clever.
In there. So the outside pumpkin is just like a decorative pot, but you have your actually functioning pot with your chrysanthemums on the inside. So there's a lot of little techniques that you can do to be able to extend this really nice, pleasant fall season.
So after Thanksgiving, once the pumpkins are kind of not looking so great anymore, mulch pile, right?
Exactly. And chop them up. The smaller pieces that you give the compost pile to start with, the faster and quicker it's going to start decomposing on there. So definitely make sure you clean them out. Don't put any foil or candle remnants in your compost pile. Clean it up, chop it up, and it'll be soil next year.
Well, we're already done with the show, but if you have any questions about fall vegetable gardening or, what kind of pumpkins can do what in your yard, or maybe you started accidentally growing a pumpkin right now thinking that you were going to have a really nice one for maybe Christmas, I don't know. But go ahead and call the Master Gardeners at the hotline at 771-2354, 771-2354. We also have an email link to the Master Gardeners on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Thanks so much for listening today, and we want to thank DJ Orozco for engineering today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.